This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I honestly think that, you know, we play well against Tampa. Just, you know, we face a good pitching staff. We hit them in the bullpen, but we didn't win those two games. We had a bad day against Detroit. But overall, we play good baseball. You know, obviously, we wanted better results, but it is what it is. But we've been playing better.
Here you go. That's Alex Cora again. Had that comment prior to yesterday's game over at Fenway Park, which actually was another Red Sox win. They've won three in a row. And that comment, we played better. We played better. Three in a row, winners of three in a row, the Red Sox heading into a series opener with the Chicago White Sox tonight in Chicago in the most depressing ballpark in America, by the way. That place, oh my God, was that a wretched place to watch a baseball game. And I don't even mean the aesthetics of the ballpark. I just got to get this off my chest. That place, depressing. Depressing, that ballpark. Always has been.
I've only ever driven by it. Not in the best area, I understand, right?
So that's part of it, I think. But honestly, I'm just talking about the atmosphere in the ballpark that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you're right on the edge there of the south side of Chicago, which is a rough neighborhood. It's a, you know, it's a tough place. And so people cite that, and I suppose that that is a huge element in people not necessarily wanting to go to the ballpark.
But it's just antiseptic in terms of once you're in there?
Well, it's that, but it's also the fact that it's, I guess it's the White Sox. You know, the Cubs are the team in town when it comes to baseball anyway. So there aren't White Sox. It's like being a Mets fan. You know, it's a sort of the same thing. And you go into the ballpark, and it's just, you sit there and you watch the games. And the crowd's not a factor. Like when they play the noise on the scoreboard, that the noise there, you can hear it loud and clear because there's no crowd drowning it out. That ballpark there, I always found it to be a horribly depressing place to cover baseball. I'm not kidding. I'm 100% serious.
I know you're not.
It was so every time, and I love the city. That was the oddity of it. So when the Red Sox went and played Chicago, I used to say, oh, it's good. It's Chicago. And then I'd go cover the game and go, oh, my God, this place sucks. It's awful. It is so freaking awful. It's a horrible place to watch baseball. And again, it has more to do with the fans and the environment than anything else. It's just, who's a White Sox fan? Who?
Obama.
Have you ever met a White Sox fan?
Hawk Harrelson.
Oh, my God. Seriously, it's dreadful. Anyway, that's where the Red Sox are for the weekend. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls here in just a bit. Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports will join us in the next segment. I haven't talked to Jared in a while. I've texted with him, but I haven't had him on the show in a while. And I love Jared. I think highly of him. And he's a hardcore Red Sox fan, so I want to get sort of his feelings, his temperature on the Red Sox here in the early part of the season. I thought it was a good time to check in with him because they're playing a little bit better. And I didn't want to beat him over the head with how bad they suck in the first month of the season. So I figured now was a good time to say hello. And later on in the show, we'll do the DraftKings fantasy pick of the night, et cetera, et cetera. I know Murray has an interest in that tonight, so we'll get to that. But here's where I want to start, and we'll get to your calls in just a minute. And I'm asking you this seriously. I'm not being a wise ass. But when you look at the team here now through the first 31 games, and I think that's how many they've played, I think they're 14-17 now, if I remember right. 31 games were in May, and you can weight it, meaning you can have a recency bias and put more emphasis on what's happened recently than before. Do it however you want. What are the positives? What are the positives with the Red Sox here in the early part of the year? What are they? And by that, you can give me general areas. You can give me specific players. And there's a reason I'm asking this. Okay, because way back when, and it feels like a long time ago now, when Theo Epstein was the general manager, I remember having a discussion with him about how they build the team. And he said, we believe we should have, at worst, an average player at a position, but really we strive, given our resources and our payroll, we should have an above average player at every position. That's our goal. We should have an above average player at every position, which means in any specific area, they should be above average. Starting pitching, bullpen, defense, offense. You know, you even want to break it down to infield offense, infield defense, and, you know, offense and defense in the outfield. You can do that too, however you want to do it. Okay, I want to use that sort of that model that Theo Epstein had of we should have an above average player at every spot. At every spot, we should be above average because we're the Red Sox and we have resources. So I look at those areas and I say, okay, where have they excelled? And I did sort of a general study of it, but it does involve specific players as well. Murray, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, and I think recency bias does come into play because the bullpen, I think, has been a bright spot outside of Tyler Thornburg, who again is ass. But specifically this Marcus Walden feels like they might have found a legitimate weapon. You know, he's a bright spot.
It's a great story, isn't it?
Yeah, and the same for Michael Chavis, too, who is now going on, 2 weeks of being in the big leagues. Felt like at the time it was almost like their hand was forced. We got to do something. Let's bring this kid up. Might be premature, but he's definitely added a spark to the offense, so that's a bright spot. I think the pop they're getting out of the bat of Christian Vasquez is a bright spot. Beyond that...
Not a ton. Yeah, there's not a ton.
Juan Rodriguez has been okay. You got a decent start from Rick Porcello. Just the last one.
How about David Price?
Yeah, sure. Fine. Yeah, he hasn't been a worry like someone like Chris Sale. So.
I mean, hasn't he been your most reliable and consistent starter?
Yes, he has. Yeah.
So I think David Price has been a plus. Jimmy Stewart, you have an opinion?
Chavis, J.D. Martinez, David Price, and Brazzers have been the four bright spots for me this season.
Okay, so again, there have been a few guys that have lived up to it. And in all honesty, the best way to do this is sort of look at the roster and say, who has met expectations? Who has met expectations?
Oh, in that case, yeah, David Price definitely has.
Okay, so, and again, I want to look at it too in these points. I'm going to start with the pitching staff. And I'm going to give you overall rankings here because lately, the starters have been good. So overall pitching among the 15 American League teams, the Red Sox rank 11th in starters ERA and 9th in bullpen ERA. 11th and 9th. Both of those are below average, including the bullpen, which, again, you could look at and say, well, you know, Brazier's been pretty good, or Barnes has been pretty good. The rest of the guys, I don't think, have been that great. So overall, do I like the bullpen? I mean, they're a little below average, so I don't think they've been great. And the starters, I don't think, have been great. I want to get to the lineup offensively, and I want to get to the lineup defensively, because you mentioned a couple of names in there, Murray, a second ago, that I agree with you, that there have been a couple of guys in there that have surprised. And sometimes the good stuff is stuff you don't notice. It might be a little thing, but it means more to the potential success of the team than you would otherwise guess. And I'm sort of being vague there on purpose because I don't want to give away the one area that I was most, that I would say I am most pleasant, not pleasantly, that I'm happiest with the Red Sox here in the early part of the year. There's one area in particular, maybe two, that I look at and say, you know what? They've done well in those two spots. And I'll tell you what those are in a minute. But first, we'll take a couple of your calls, and then we'll get to Jared Karabas in a little bit as well. Ryan is on the Cape. Ryan, what do you got, pal?
How you doing? I'm wondering if the glass is half full with the Red Sox and if they should actually be in worse position than they are. And what you think about
Ryan, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold because you're breaking up. So maybe you can go to an area where you get a better signal. Again, I know you're on the Cape. It can be spotty down there, so try to find a better spot. Justin's in Swansea. Justin, what do you got?
Hey, recently announced that they banned Fortnite from the clubhouse.
Correct.
Do you think that's going to drive an improvement there, or is that just an act of frustration?
So I don't know if it's recent, Justin. This is one of the things we were sort of discussing. The story actually came out yesterday that they're not playing Fortnite in the clubhouse this season. It was reported today in the Herald, Murray. Was it Michael Silverman of the Herald?
Yes, correct. Yeah. That David Price made it a point to say to the gathered reporters, Fortnite is not banned in the clubhouse. Banning it has not been discussed. And then he was about to go play some Fortnite.
Okay. So look, we can debate whether or not it's been banned. I'll tell you what I took out of the story. When I first saw it, that they weren't playing Fortnite in the clubhouse, and then apparently last year, guys had monitors in their stalls and were playing it in the clubhouse, like literally had computer monitors in their stalls, and they were playing video games. Apparently now that is not there. So whether it's Fortnite or anything else, the monitors aren't in the stalls, right?
Right.
Okay, so like that suggests to me that somebody in the organization said, guys, you want to play in the ballpark and you want to go play in the lounge, and every one of these clubhouses now has these, they have these great lounges. The Red Sox obviously added one to their existing ballpark. In the new stadiums, these lounges are palatial. I mean, they're fabulous.
I remember seeing the Cubs one. It's like its own nightclub.
Oh my God, they have complete, you know, DVD collections, yeah, and all kinds of crap. I mean, those guys don't ever have to leave there. Really, these lounges are unbelievable. So maybe they're still playing in the background in the lounge, just not out in front of everybody. To which I would say, good. When you're 14 and 17, don't give anybody the appearance that you're interested in something other than winning. Because when you suck and you're playing video games, boy, is that a bad look. It's like failing out of school and sitting in your dorm room and playing video games. Your parents aren't going to be too happy. And the fans, on some level, are your parents. And the media, on some level, are your parents. That's what they are. They're there to look over your shoulder and make sure you're not screwing off too much. And the Red Sox in 2019 have been screwing off. So you know what? Don't play video games out in front of all of us and let us think that you're screwing off. Just don't give us the ammo. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you're doing in your free time. I'd like to think that you're committed to your job and just doing it the way you're supposed to all the time. Is it Brockton in Chelsea or Chelsea in Brockton?
It's Brockton in Chelsea. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Yeah, I want to talk about the bullpen here. I think at this point, the only option is to give Kimbrel the 6 year, $60 million, because they just can't hold it together. Even when they pull a good start together, they can't hold it together at the end of the game. Ninth inning comes and it's all over.
Yeah, so I disagree with you, Brockton. I actually think Brazier, for the most part, has been pretty good. And so, and the other thing is,
think Kimbrel's also going to sign a 1 year deal. I don't think that they need to do that.
Yeah, so he said 6 years and 60. Kimbrel wanted 6 and 100. That's what he wanted. And now you don't have to give him the six. You can give him, come June 1st, he's going to sign with somebody for the rest of the year. Okay, that's what's going to happen. He's not going to sign with anyone until June 1st, because prior to then, that team would have to give up compensation. Once you get past June 1, whoever wants him can sign him without draft pick compensation. So Kimbrel's going to end up in a roster here for the final 4 months for someone he really will be like a deadline pickup. Okay, but it's not going to happen before then, and I'd be surprised if he came back here for 4 months with his tail between his legs. I seriously doubt that he would do that. So 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. We'll check in with Jared Karabas. And again, really the primary exercise tonight, I want to go through the roster offensively and defensively by position, and you tell me whether the Red Sox have been overachieving or underachieving at that spot. Okay, we're going to do that over the course of the next 45 minutes to the end of the show. Okay, but Jared Karabas, Barstool Sports, coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's time for a Section 10 preview with Karabas.
Yo, tell us what your podcast is about.
That's an oldie but a goodie. I forgot we even had that. That's right. Jared Karabas used to be a weekly guest on the Baseball Reporters. He is no more. He's gone big time. Moved to New York. Got his own thing going on. Doing, podcasts, video, the whole nine yards. But he joins us now. What is the hotline name? Is it the Volkswagen Dealers Hotline?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
On the Volkswagen Dealers Hotline. Jared!
Tony!
How you doing?
I'm doing great. And you know what? The whole moving to New York thing, can we just not even talk about that? Because the goal is always to come back to Boston. And that, I don't know, who knows? That might be happening sooner rather than later. I don't know.
Oh, really? Okay, well, there's a little tease for you. You'll have to fill me in on that one off the air. So just quickly, because again, I haven't had a chance to talk to you in a long time. How are you feeling about your baseball team?
Decent. I don't feel great. I think great would be overzealous. I don't feel bad about them. I did. There was a point where I felt horrible about my baseball team. But it was hard to sort of pinpoint beyond the whole starting pitching issue. And, you know, coming into the season, obviously the bullpen was the spring training storyline. But that hasn't been an issue outside of Barnes really blowing the back-to-back games in Tampa and then the Brazier Grand Slam in the Bronx. Outside of that, it's been a strong point, I would say. But, you know, you kind of look around and it wasn't injuries. It wasn't performances that you were expecting to be bad. So those, you know, water seeks its level. We'll see what happens.
Okay, so listen, one of the popular theories going on out there right now, and a bunch of guys covering the team are sort of on this theme, and Cora is talking about it, that they're coming out of it. They're getting better. They're improving. They're playing better baseball now. Do you believe that?
Yeah, no, I do. But the word is obviously consistency, and I think he talked about that last week when he said, you know, there's some nights where we hit and we don't pitch, and there's some nights where we pitch and we don't hit. There have been nights where they haven't done either, but, you know, they've lost, I think, two games this year where they've scored at least 8 runs and still lost. But what I've liked so far, or at least in recent weeks, is that the starting pitching has come around. You know, guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, he had that hiccup inning against Oakland, but outside of that, he's turned a corner. Porcello has turned a corner. Price has been pretty good for pretty much the whole year so far. Sale turned a corner, but we're obviously going to be stuck on velocity talk for probably the remainder of his career at this point. But if he's getting results, then I don't really care what the radar gun says. And he's been getting better results, albeit with no victories to show for it. Mookie getting hot over the last 2-3 weeks has been something that has been a necessity. You know, once you get Mookie going, everyone else sort of follows suit. Benintendi, I think that's a guy that, you know, he's been hit or miss this year. Once he gets going, that's a different story. And then JD Martinez with the back spasms.
Okay.
That worries me a little bit.
Okay. So don't get me going on Benintendi, because I've said this all along. I'm not changing my mind. Benintendi to me is one of the most overrated players in a Red Sox uniform. So, but I don't want to argue with you about Benintendi tonight. I don't see where the special talent is. I just don't see it. Not on a big league. Okay. Not on a big league level. I don't see it. But you mentioned, Sale, because Sale to me is a bigger issue than people are making it out to be. And mm-hmm. and it's not velocity related, Jared. It's results related. They are 0-6 in games started by Chris Sale. If that is
sure, but how many, but Tony, and I know that you like to throw out your doom and gloom tweets. I know that that's your thing. But in all 6 of those starts, how many of them have been winnable games? Because yeah, I understand that, like, Chris Sale has come out and said, I suck. He says that after every single start, and I appreciate the accountability, and I think that he's learned from other guys in the past who haven't been accountable, that have had nightmare experiences with the media. But Chris Sale hasn't sucked in all of these starts. You know, if he goes out there and he has the 7 innings, it was 4 runs, but only 2 of them were earned, the 8 strikeouts, you should win that game. The game out in Oakland, when he went, 6 innings and gave up 1 or 2 runs, you can win that game. So there have been some games where the offense hasn't done anything for him. So, yeah, they might be 0-6 in games that he's taken the mound, but I think that we've seen worse results from other guys in terms of a pitcher's performance having an impact on the end result of the game.
Hey, Jared, and hi. Go back to what you said about J.D. Martinez and being concerned about his back spasms. Is that just general concern, or is there a history there, or do you know a little something?
No, it's not really a history thing. It's just, you know, you can tell when he's not right, especially in that Oakland series. And maybe, like I said, I think that the weather has something to do with that when you do have back spasms and, you know, you're getting it worked on. And he knows, because there were those 2 games that he sat out against Tampa, and you can watch those games and be like, that is a completely different line. We saw it in 2017. You add J.D. Martinez in that lineup, it was one guy that made an impact on everybody. And in those 2 games against Tampa, JD's not there. You can feel that difference in sort of his presence. And when he's out there trying to battle through, I mean, those games are freezing that they were playing against Oakland. When you can tell he's not right, it's one of those things where he just has to – I appreciate trying to gut it out, especially at the time when you had lost the 2 against Tampa. You're now trying to not salvage the homestand, but take advantage of a scuffling A's team that had just gotten swept in Toronto. I appreciate him being out there, but that's a guy that they need, not at 100%, but not out there. I mean, your back is one of your key muscles to being able to hit homers, and he's only got four. It's been a little while. The power has suffered because of it. So that's a guy that they need to get right.
Jared, along those lines, did you think Mookie Betts was the MVP last year, or did you think Martinez was?
I said that Mookie Betts was the league's most valuable player, but I had J.D. Martinez as Red Sox most valuable player, and I know that that doesn't make sense because they're both on the same team.
It doesn't.
But it's I think that the that J.D. Martinez was more important to the success of the Red Sox than any other player. But when you look at overall performance and, you know, the wins above replacement, the defense, the base running, Mookie Betts statistically was the best player in all of baseball. So that's why he wins the MVP award. But when you look at what J.D. Martinez did offensively, because that's all he was brought in to do. He wasn't brought in to play defense or run the bases unless it was a light jog after hitting 40 home runs. And then the impact that he made on the guys around him. He made Mookie Betts a better player.
Okay,
and so he made Jackie Bradley Jr. a better player. And those guys have said that.
So what you're saying is that Mookie was the best player in the league last year, but J.D. was the most valuable.
Yes.
Okay. So, look, I mean, you want to tell me Mookie Betts was the best player in the league last year? You're probably right. To me, the award is most valuable. I'd have given it to J.D., which is why I think this proves it, what you were talking about with the Tampa series. You take him out of the lineup, look at how different it is. But that aside, I want to go back to Sale for a second. Okay, because you said with Sale, well, there were games in there he could have won. And there was a game in there, there was a couple of starts ago, and I want to go back to maybe the Detroit game, where he said, and he lost the first game of a doubleheader that day. That was on the 23rd of April. And afterward, he said, you know, I mean, we had a chance to win when I left the game. I'm still putting too much on the bullpen, but we had a chance to win the game. Is that now the standard for this guy? Because I'm not paying Chris Sale, whether it's this year or next year under the new contract. Chris Sale is not here to, quote unquote, give me a chance to win the game. Chris Sale is here to win, period, end of story.
No, I think that's overanalyzing a post-game quote. I think Chris Sale knows that he has the ability to hand the ball over to the bullpen in the ninth inning. Like he's a guy that when he's right, he's up there with the league leaders in average innings per start. He's up there. Like year to year, he has done that. So
he's paid to win, Jared.
I understand that, but you know when you're Chris Sale and you're working with what he's been working with in the first month of the season, which is not a lot of swing and miss stuff, he has to make adjustments. And I think that we've seen some of those adjustments because we interviewed him down in spring training, and I asked him about the velocity and the obsession with velocity. He said, when you have 90, 91, it sucks being a guy that can has gotten it up to triple digits and he can sit 97, 98. When you don't have that, you still have to get outs with what you have. And I think he has made that adjustment, realizing, hey, you know, if my first four-seamer of the game, if that's clocking in at 90, we're in trouble. But at least we have some sort of a game plan to where now he's getting an idea, he's getting a feel for how to pitch with 90 to 93, if that's what he has. Whereas at the beginning of the season, we saw, you know, you don't have to respect the slider if he's not coming in at 97. If there's not a drastic difference between the four-seamer and his changeup, now you don't have to respect the other pitches. So there is a science to it, and I think that he's making his adjustments. But on the flip side of that, I also don't expect him to be sitting 90 to 93 once we sort of get into these warmer months it's not an excuse. It's more just a reason, because we dealt with the same thing with David Price back when he got here in 2016. We had Boston Sports Imp, shout out that guy on Twitter, was bringing up the David Price numbers depending on what degrees it was outside. Like, stuff like that matters. And I think that that might be a factor here with Sale. If we're still dealing with Chris Sale pumping 91, 92, and it's June, July, then the only way that we can say, all right, this might be, you know, a huge red flag here is if he doesn't then make those adjustments to pitch with the velocity that he now has.
Yeah, look, again, I don't want to belabor the point. I'm just telling you that your ace is supposed to win. Teams are built on that. And if he doesn't win, that's a problem. Before we let you go, what are you moving back? Is that the deal? Or are you still going to work for Barstool when you come back here? What's the story?
the only way that I would ever leave Barstool Sports is if Dave Portnoy left the company and said, Jared, I want to take you with me. So what I think might happen is we might be trying to set up a little operation here in Boston so that we can improve our baseball coverage, and we might be bringing some friends and pals with us. And if that happens, Tony, you'll be the first to know.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no, I'm sure you'll go out of your way to let me know. I appreciate that. Jared, be well.
You're on my favorites list, Tony.
I, likewise, Jared, as you know. All right, we'll see you later.
All right, guys, be good.
All right, Jared Karabas, Barstool Sports. Nice of him to join us. Murray's Get Your Headlines when we come back. Again, I want to go through the Red Sox offensively and defensively, position by position. And I want you to tell me thus far, plus or minus, above average or below average. And anyone who is average, you can say average. I think it's a bit of a cop-out. But who has met expectations offensively and defensively, and who hasn't? Okay, we'll do that. Mario, get you caught up on headlines first.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
Okay, here we go. Once a week or so, we try to give you a DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night. Sometimes it's a little more than once a week. But nonetheless, I'm not going to give you the obvious ones like Mike Trout. You'd want Mike Trout in your lineup every night, of course. So I try to give you one maybe a little off the grid that you can pick in the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night, obviously brought to you by DraftKings. Play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So I just told Murray this. Yonder Alonso, who plays first base for the White Sox, first base DH, but nonetheless, in most fantasy leagues, qualifies as first base. He kills left-handed pitching. Price is on the mound tonight for the Red Sox, so that would be a guy to go with. If you want another one and you don't want to pick against the Red Sox, which I would get, catcher for the Blue Jays, Danny Jansen. Now you'd say, who the hell is that guy? But you got to have a catcher. There are only a couple of night games tonight. Jansen is facing Tyler Skaggs, who's a lefty for the Angels. Skaggs isn't your traditional lefty, but if you're going to roll the dice, take a chance with Jansen. He might hit your home run, and he's really, really cheap. So you'll be able to put money into some other spots. Okay, that's sort of the idea. Don't waste money on a catcher. Roll the dice with a guy like him, maybe hit your home run. That's sort of my thought. So Danny Jansen really is your DraftKings fantasy pick of the night. We'll give you the matchups of the game for the Red Sox later. We'll do that in the next segment. Before we do that, I said, began the show by saying this. I want to do this exercise. Offensively and defensively, which Red Sox players have performed above average and below average at their positions? And I bring this up because, again, you're now more than a month into the season, 31 games. This is how Theo Epstein used to build a roster, at least in part, right? Is one of the methods or one of the criteria. They tried to be above average at every position. Okay, so I'll tell you what, let's just stick to offense at the moment. Offense only. Okay, go right through. I'll tell you where the Red Sox rank in the league in OPS at that position, but only after I ask you whether you think they are overachieving or underachieving. So I want Murray and Jimmy Stewart to sort of play along, and if you have opinions as a fan out there, by all means, 617-779-0985. And I think what you're going to find, last year you could go right around the diamond and say right field, overachieved. First base, overachieved. Shortstop, overachieved. DH, overachieved. Like, there are a lot of spots where the Red Sox got above average output at every spot on the field, at a spot on the field. This year, I'm eager to see whether or not you can find the ones that I found, because there aren't many. Okay, so let's start now again. Offense. Offense only based on OPS. Above average or below, catcher?
Above.
Below.
Above. They're fourth. Fourth in the league in OPS at catcher. And again, these are just American League rankings. Christian Vasquez has hit home runs.
Yeah, he's got, what, four now?
So five. He's got five. Damn. Yeah, which again, now it's a low standard because catcher sucks, but they're above average there. So I don't have a ton to complain about with the offense from catcher. First base.
Below.
Above.
Right in the middle. They're seventh, and I would say Mitch Moreland's been good. Pearson's been a disaster. Second base, above or below average?
Below.
Below.
Below. 14th.
Eugh.
14th out of 15 teams. Their offense at second base has sucked. It's a problem. Third base, above average or below?
Below.
Above.
Right in the middle. Seventh, to which I would say not good enough. Rafael Devers is not here to be average.
Well, that's got to be the Chavis effect, I think, that actually has that at average, because otherwise it's got to be below.
So you know what, Murray? He's actually played second base, DH'd, and first. I don't think
hasn't he been a third?
I don't think he's played at third yet, believe it or not. Believe it or not, I don't think he has.
Okay.
So the second base numbers are 14th, and that's with Chavis.
Ugh.
Okay, wow, so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Shortstop, above or below average?
Above.
Above.
Below.
Really?
Ninth in the league in OPS at shortstop.
But Bogaerts has been really good.
At times. Not at others. Overall, he's been underachieving. So he's had a couple of bursts, but I would say overall not good enough. And I would also say, you know, ninth isn't horrible. Eighth is dead smack in the middle. But you're going to pay him $20 million a year next year. You expect him to be in the top three. Okay? Left field, offense, above average or below?
Below.
Below.
Below. Ninth. Benintendi.
Sucks.
Yeah. Mr. Everything. Mr. Overrated is what Benintendi is.
I thought he was going to have a breakout year.
I mean, everybody thinks Benintendi's going to have a breakout year every year, and he never does.
He's Rohan Davey.
He's average. He's an average major leaguer. Accept it. Accept the reality. He's an average major league player.
I won't.
I'm not yelling at you two. I'm just telling the fans.
Thank you.
Offense. Center field.
Way below.
Oh, below. Jesus.
13th. Jackie Bradley. He sucks.
Disaster. And blows.
13th. Right field, above average or below?
Above.
Above.
Above, but they're fifth. This guy's the MVP of the league.
Was.
Jared Karabas called him the best player in the game last year.
Last year.
Fifth is not good enough. You should be first or second. I'll give you top three if you really push me. But Mookie Betts has to be better than fifth in the league in offense for this team to perform at the level they needed to perform. Also, by the way, I go back to left field. I say they're ninth in OPS at the position. That includes J.D. Martinez, who's been good out there when he's played in the outfield, which tells you how bad Benintendi's been. Okay? Now, we're going to do defense, and we're going to try to do this relatively quickly.
Okay.
So, just factor in just defense above average or below at the position. Catcher.
Below.
Average.
They're actually above.
Hmm.
Ugh.
And again, these are based on the FanGraphs metrics. Christian Vasquez has thrown out 38.5% of all base stealers, which is really good. Really good. He has not committed an error all year, Vasquez.
That'll change tonight.
Okay. He's got three pass balls. I think two of them came in one game. So early in the year, I didn't think Vasquez was playing well. Since that time, he's been pretty good. Vasquez has been one of your best players. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, he has.
If your catcher's one of your best players, you're in big trouble. Unless he's like Johnny Bench.
And think of how much better it would be if they didn't have Swihart.
Okay. Defense only. First base. Above or below average?
Below.
Above.
Below. Ninth. Ninth. And again, Pierce has been over there too. And, you know, the defense at first base has not been great. It hasn't been horrible, but it has not been great. Defense at second base, above or below average?
Below.
Below.
Below, ninth. Defense has been a problem all the way around. Second base is a black hole for this team. It's awful. Awful. Second base is awful, which is why you better hope Chavis can play the position. This is an easy one. Third base, defense, above or below average?
Disastrous, below.
Terrible.
13th in the league out of 15. Devers has been a train wreck. Defensively, he's been a train wreck at third base. Shortstop, above or below average?
Above.
Above.
Above. Number one in the league.
Good.
And you know what? This is the one that I was most surprised by. And this is one of those that you don't talk about unless it's bad. Do you realize in the since the start of last year, 15 games in, Bogaerts got off to a little bit of a bumpy start last year defensively. Since that time, counting postseason, he's played 164 games and made 8 errors.
Wow.
8. He did not have an error the entire postseason. Don't look now, but Xander Bogaerts has become one of the more sure-handed defensive shortstops in the game. I'm not telling you he has the range of Andrelton Simmons, but in terms of making the plays he's supposed to make, he almost never F's him up. And boy, did I just put the whammy on him.
Good job.
Seriously, though, he's got 1 error this year. 1. Above average or below average defense, left field?
Below.
It should be above.
It's below. It should be above, and it's below. Benintendi, not great. And again, J.D. Martinez factors in there, too. But Benintendi, whom, again, you all treat like Fred Lynn Jr., Benintendi's average at best. An average major league player. I can't hit you over the head enough with that. Defense in center field, above or below average?
I'm going to say below.
I'm going to say way below.
Way below is correct.
Wow.
14th in the American League in defense and center field.
Willie Mays Bradley Jr. has been terrible this year.
Which begs the question.
Why is he here?
If Jackie Bradley is not giving you defense, and again, should be top three, it's 14th. If he's not giving you top three defense in the American League, why is he playing? Why is he even here? Correct, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Finally, defense in right field, above or below average so far?
Above.
Above.
Above 5th, but again, I would say one of the best defensive players in the game. They shove that metric down our throats every year that Mookie Betts saves more runs in right field than any player in baseball saves at any other position. Like, defensive runs saved, Mookie Betts is number 1. This year, he's 5th at his position. So, like, I look at that and say, Mookie Betts has been terrific in the last couple of weeks, and we know how good he is. He's underachieved this year. He's underachieved, and really, the only spots that you could say the Red Sox have gotten plus performance, catcher, which Vasquez has given them both, and Bogaerts' defense at shortstop. That's it. That's it. Everything else really has been average, below average, or a player not playing to his capability like Betts. We'll wrap it up with your calls and give you the matchup of the night next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tony Mazz. Tony Mazz. What a great, great job he has. Talking sports. Talking sports. Doing all his baseball reports. Maserati. Sometimes he gets a little naughty. Oh well, oh well. You've got to blow off steam when you're dealing with Belger. Maserati, a Maserati. Tony, 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 Tony Maserati.
It's like everything's an oldie but a goodie. It's throwback night, Murray. Throwback night.
Throwback Thursday.
Jared Carabas, had him on, played his little open that we hadn't had that Murray made, the Section 10 podcast. That one there, I forgot. Apparently that guy did some sort of song for Fred on the morning show.
He's apparently done thousands of songs. It's one of my favorite bits they do all year. It's a racehorse or local band, and this guy was obviously the local band, and he has thousands of songs, and he's written about Fred, he's written about you, he's written about Zolak, all of them. Not that great, but catchy. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, so as you said earlier, so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
I love that. It's always a sort of a, you know, damning by faint praise or praising by faint damnation, one or the other. But in any case, I don't know. I got a chuckle out of it. Time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Boy, I got to be fast. Jose Abreu against David Price. 3 for 21, 143. Price owns that matchup, worth keeping an eye on tonight. And then Lucas Giolito, who is pitching against the Red Sox for the White Sox. I think this guy used to be a prospect in the national system, if I remember right. In any case, Red Sox don't have much history against him. 1 for 19, though, as a team, with 8 strikeouts against this guy. So keep an eye on it. They haven't had a ton of success. The only hit comes from Mookie Betts against Lucas Giolito. That's obviously a Central Time game tonight for the Red Sox. Coming up next, Bruins pregame. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers leading into pivotal game 4 of the Eastern Conference playoffs between the Bruins and the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus. Dare I say, it's pretty much do or die for the Bruins. You get the game here at 7 o'clock. Everyone, we will see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.